I could offer a lot of different things for a parish. I could offer Bible studies, we could have parish picnics, we can do all kinds of potlucks and things like that. And those things do draw people, and it's wonderful and amazing. But nothing draws people like the power of one Holy Mass. What is it about that? And I can tell you it's the truth of our Catholic faith that has made a huge difference in my own life. In fact, the reason that I am Catholic today, because I wasn't always, the reason you see me standing up here doing the homily in front of you, is the truth that we celebrate today. Of course, every Mass is about this, but today we take a special Mass and we are focusing on the real presence of our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist. Now, the feast, of course, is on Thursday, this past Thursday, and we've doing the external solemnity, it's called. Hopefully in the future, I'll have some ducks in a row and we can actually do it on a Thursday with a little procession and stuff. That'll be wonderful. But we don't want to miss it. So this is so important for us to reflect on, because the Eucharist is not merely a sign or a symbol. It is Christ fulfilling his promise. As he said, I am always with you. So what are we talking about here? On the basics, during Holy Mass, what was bread and wine, just ordinary bread and wine, at the words of Christ himself, spoken by the priest, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that bread and wine becomes Christ himself. In his own words, he says in John's Gospel, the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. We say, but how is that possible? That's the mantra for many in the world today. How could something like that be, right? But that's exactly what happens in the gospel. We have an excerpt from the Bread of Life discourse that we have today, but I invite you to read the entire Bread of Life discourse because it lays out so beautifully what we believe. And the people themselves said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That's the mantra of the world outside these walls. How can a man give us his flesh to eat? And then our Lord is given the chance to explain his words, to say, I'm just speaking symbolically, don't get all riled up, right? He didn't. Instead of declaring that he's speaking symbolically, he doubles down and he intensifies what he says. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. A total of 6 times in the Bread of Life discourse, he says to do this. In fact, in the original Greek language in which St. John is writing here, because it was not written in English or Latin, so there's another Greek word that's actually he changes to. He starts with one Greek word, phogo, and then he goes to another Greek word, phogo. And it's a verb that cannot be mistaken for a symbol. It is, St. John is using a very vivid word for actually chewing, eating, so it cannot be mistaken. And so, after all, this is the one who was born in Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. He becomes our bread. And he was laid in a what? In a manger. The word manger comes from manjare, means to eat. And it's a place for the animals to eat. The next verses as well, as you keep going to the very end of the Bread of Life discourse, what happens? It says that many of the people said, this saying is too hard. And it says many of his disciples, it used the word disciples, no longer followed him. Well, he didn't run after them and say, whoa, how would you think that I was, you know, not speaking symbolically? No. He let them go because this truth is worth it. In fact, he turns to the apostles and he says what? Do you also want to go? He was willing to let even the apostles go. Praise St. Peter, who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. But again, the word how comes back, right? You might It's like a child asking those questions. Why, right? How? How can this happen? In our world today, we like to think of chemical reactions and stuff. How can this be, right? Well, think with me about the power of words. Now, we can use words to describe things. We do that. For example, I'm wearing a gold-colored vestment. This ambo here is made of wood. Those are descriptive things. Those are words used for that. But we know that words can go beyond just describing reality. Words can also affect, they can change reality. So think about it this way. If an important person in your life, perhaps a coach, a teacher, your mom or dad, someone influential says words that encourage you, they praise something you did, that encouragement and praise can change your life for the better. So many people, they go through life and they remember something someone said and it made them go forward. However, if the same influential people said words that were an attack upon you and you felt were an unfair criticism, those words can still change your whole life, but not in a good way. And so many people are walking around with those wounds. Or think about this. If I were to come up to say to you, you are under arrest, you'd be like, well, you know, you might laugh or presume that it was a joke, or at least you might be a little confused by that, right? However, if a fully dressed, fully authorized officer of the police comes up and says the same words to you, you are under arrest. Whether you like it or not, because of those words, you are under arrest, and your life is about to change. Or maybe an umpire at a baseball game declares a batter, he's out, and you don't agree with that, and you start screaming from the stands, like, you know, you're an idiot, you know, and all those things people do, it's not fair. You can scream all you want, but all that yelling doesn't change the reality that the player is out because the umpire is authorized and you are not. Now, let's put it back into the world of our Lord. God's word is powerful and has authority. God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. In fact, at his word, everything, the universe came to be out of nothing, nothing. And now who then is Jesus? Our Lord is not merely one teacher among many, not just one prophet in a long line of prophets. Christ is the word of the Father made flesh. He is true God, true man. So in the Gospels, what our Lord says truly is, it happens. Little girl, get up. And she gets up and she's healed. Lazarus, come out. And he comes out from the tomb alive again. Your sins are forgiven. And they are, in fact, forgiven. So the night before he died, our Lord said, as he's holding bread, as he's holding wine, this is my body, this is my blood. And it is. Because of who he is, and because he speaks with true authority, Christ's words have the power to transform reality. After all, this is the same God who made everything out of nothing. He became a little baby for our salvation. He changed water into wine. He can easily do this. So this is what happens at Mass. And I went over this a couple of weeks ago, but it's always good to be refreshed. The substance of bread and wine, that means the deepest reality of what they really truly are, that substance changes into the substance of Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity. That is, the whole Christ comes to us. Christ allows it to still look like bread and wine for our sake. We would have trouble, I think, seeing substantial reality underneath. So he does the accidents, the things, how it looks, he keeps the same. So at the words of the ordained, that is authorized priest, speaking in the person of Christ over the bread and wine, Christ's words change everything. And his words even have the power to change you and me. When I read our Catholic teaching about the Eucharist in the basement of a university library when I was 18 years old, those words changed my reality. I sat there and I said, I can't continue. I have found the truth. I know where home is. And for most all of you here, this has been your faith since you were born. And so I say to you, especially, embrace this beautiful reality that you have had from the beginning. In Holy Communion, God comes to the temple of you, that he has made you. So make a worthy home for him. If we truly took to heart what we are receiving here, we could never miss. We would move heaven and earth to always be here to receive our Lord. And our only response to such a great gift as this is one thing, simply to bow down in love and awe of Christ in the most holy Eucharist and worship him and love him. Domine non sum dignus ut entres subtectum meum. Lord, you know I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.